cooperate with the ICC, which they say is anti-African, anti-poor, singling out African leaders? And why hasn't it gone after the likes of George W. Bush, Tony Blair, Netanyahu in Israel? Because they are war criminals, say many Africans.
Fabio Quist-Arten on Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm David Green.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. Good morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the Mid-Morning Commodity Market Report. Let's go ahead and see how futures are currently trading. Hardwood winter July wheat is 509.5, down 16.5. September 519.5, down 16.25. Soft July 489.25, down 14.25. It's at 89.5 at the now, and September is 495.5, down 15. July corn 349.25, down 3.75. September 354, down 4.75. December 365, down 4.5. July beans 939, down 1. September also down 1 at 906.5. November 902.75, down 1.5. July soybean meal 314.70, down 2.70. July soybean oils 32.94, down 20. June live cattle 152.02.5, down 42.5. August feeders 223.85, up 40. And July lean hogs are 77.17.5. They're down 90. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics out of Atchison, Kansas. Good morning, Mike.
My thanks to Kurt for letting me swap with him. We've got a wedding at the end of the week, so I'll be running on the road back towards Lafayette, Dave. So my hat off to Kurt for filling in for me and us swapping out today.
Yeah, so you get the lucky day of follow-through losses from last week.
I get the lucky day of the European Union preparing for a state of emergency. Maybe those producers out there that see us switching today, maybe when Kurt does his on Friday, we'll have a low in the market, and everybody can say, oh, thank goodness Kurt made the low in the market.
Well, we still do have the Greece situation over the heads of those who wish to be bullish.
Yeah, you've got that, and you know, you've got what we talked about on Friday, still working through the trade, and that is the outflows from emerging markets are the worst since 2008 in the prior week, and China was about 80% of those outflows. And so you've got those two things in the major headlines and in the macro headlines more than offsetting the soggy weather causing substantial supply concerns for grains. And it is literally worse than I thought it was when I took a mini crop tour around here in this region. I didn't go any farther east than St. Joe, so it was only about a 30-mile radius that I took, but I was surprised. I thought maybe about half the fields would have been unplanted or underwater as far as soybean fields, and I think it's probably closer to two-thirds that are in that situation. And maybe, just maybe, the beans are trying to fight back here a little bit today because of that. We're trying to get beans back steady on the day with the spread still very firm.
Well, we do have, what, NOPA out later this morning?
Yes, we have NOPA out. They're preparing for that. They're expecting, I think, 147-something in million bushels for crush, so that'll be an important number, as will the weekly export inspections and driving the trade. One other good, you know, if you can call it a good thing, we've had a little bit of weaker economic data here for the United States, and that's kind of contained the dollar. The Greek two-year treasury or sovereign yields are up around 28.5%, the highest since April. So the weekend's not treating Greece very well, but there's not a lot of money flooding into the dollar at this point. So that maybe is helping the corn and beans along with the weather a little bit. Wheat, however, making new session lows and down almost 3% on the day. So my take is pretty simple. If you can't get the wheat to find a bottom, it's going to be extremely hard for the corn and beans to find a lasting bottom either.
Yeah, the trade not believing how hard it rained over the weekend in the Texas panhandle through Oklahoma, rather suggesting that demand down, animal feed use under pressure, and plenty of world wheat on the market.
No, and why would they after USDA's report? And I know the USDA report is in the rearview mirror, but the trade is still talking about it. There were some Newswire updates coming out of London this morning, early in the morning, still talking about the burdensome U.S. stocks, especially in light of the USDA raising the production estimate for the winter wheat crop last week. And so we are still trading that, and I think it makes it very easy, or at least easier for the trade, to go ahead and pressure the technicals. And it's pretty important to note on this AM or mid-morning commentary that we have taken out the June 1 lows in the Dease corn and November beans, thanks to the wheat leading it. So that 365 and 896 and three-quarter lows from June 1st have been taken out here. We'll see if we stay below those on a closing basis or not. That'll mean a lot to me in the short-term charts.
And if we do stay below those levels mentioned in the short term, what open downside targets emerge in your mind?
I think we're heading towards my undervalue levels at that point, Dave, around 345 in December corn, and that actually is really close to where we ended up going down to in 2010 in the month of June, and also around 865 in November beans. That would be a swing objective for me if we would take out that 896 area, that another 30 to 40 cents downside could be seen, and there's a little bit of congestion between 850 and 870 areas. So I'm going to say 865 does most of the heavy lifting if in case we need to go down. So I think that's where the beans probably have the best look to them, both fundamentally and both technically and in their spreads. The spreads are still very firm today. That's very good to see. If we get some good export inspections and the NOPA crush isn't too bearish, we might actually see one of these days where beans hold everything together.
A couple of other factors on the horizon that could potentially be market movers, one in short term and certainly one coming up at the end of the month. Let's talk about the short term one first, and that is the Fed meeting on Wednesday, which begs to me the question, how much of an interest increase might already be priced in the dollar index?
Well, I think they've got one 25 basis point increase priced in for September. That's what some of the Treasury futures and some of the real-time data that I can get a hold of would suggest at this point, that we're going to be 25.25% or 25 basis points higher on the September meeting, and then the Fed's going to shut off the valve and wait until the end of the year. So that's what's kind of baked into the cake to answer your question.
And then the other one is a pair of reports at the end of the month, a quarterly grain stock report, which everybody will be reminded how much corn is still out there and how much in the hands of producers likely, and then that acreage report.
Yeah, I'm almost, I hate to say this, but I'm almost writing off the stocks report because of what you just talked about. I mean, the report last week for supply-demand and the lowering of ethanol, the EPA decision, I don't see where the, if you're looking for a bottom in the price, where the stocks report for corn can do much good. Now, for the beans, it may be able to do quite a bit of good to keep that spread firm, and that's an important point. I think that the grain stocks report would have some market-moving numbers when it comes to the soybeans. The acreage, that's going to be important for both, especially given what we've seen here in the second half of the what we see in the second half of the month of June, because, as you know, June 20th, June 25th, that covers a lot of prevent plant dates for the soybeans for the Corn Belt, and we're quickly approaching those areas or that date time period, and many areas are still way too soggy to get anything done.
I think that acreage report probably will be questioned the moment it comes out because it covers the area to, what, 1 June?
Yes, it does, and I think that's where maybe the USDA will make some updated figures or try and do something to, like they did this past week, say we aren't talking about what's happened since June 1 when it comes to the weather. Maybe they'll do the same thing in the acreage report. But any movement down in acres I think would be very, very welcome because it would bring back to life the idea in the trade that as long as the dollar stays contained, supplies are falling faster than demand again, and we will see ending stocks for the United States and even for the world, excluding maybe the soybeans, drop versus the prior year. And I think that would go a long way in healing up some of the mindset in the markets that we currently have right now.
Is gigantuous a real word? I don't think it is, but it seems to suggest the mindset that traders might be in when they make their estimates. I think you're going to see a huge range on this acreage report.
I think you're right, and as I told Todd on Friday, I'm not going to move the dial probably for another week to week and a half, and especially after I took the crop tour around here in this part of the country, and I want to get up towards the Kansas-Nebraska border and the Nebraska-Kansas-Iowa border. I've been told by some friends at church that have some ground up there that they, too, are in really tough a tough situation right now east of Omaha, and I think that's something that I want to go up and take a look at before I move any of the numbers around.
Thank you very much, Mike.
Have a great afternoon, Dave.
You too. Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics. He's in Atchison, Kansas. July corn, 349 down 4. December, 365 down 4.5. July bean, 939 and a quarter down 3 quarters. November, 903 and a quarter. They're down 1. July soybean meal, 314.70 down 270. July soybean oil, 3301 down 13 cents. July lean hogs, 77 even. They're down 105. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's 10 o'clock Central Time.